We'll go over some general points here relative to our church, and as we conclude this year and think forward to next year. So I'm going to use as a passage here Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 29 through 32. Now, I've gone through Ephesians one time. Mentioned this passage many times. But here is a passage that the Lord gives to this local church at Ephesus there. And the Ephesian church was started by Paul. And yet he has to give this type of statement here. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." All right, let's pray. Our Father, we praise thee for this afternoon, the privilege we have to be in the house of God and hear from the Word of God. I pray that the Spirit of God will help us now and bring these truths to our mind and help us to reflect on the Lord and our relationship with Him and with one another. I pray that you'll bless our church, help us to have a good year in the future here as we look forward to 2018. Thank you for what you've done in the past, and pray that you'll bless us and help us in the future, we pray. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, basically I want to talk about your relationship, number one, to the pastor, and then your relationship to others. So let's think here, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians, several passages, and these aren't necessarily new ones to many people in our church, but they're ones that we need to be reminded of. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, 5 verse 12 through 14. All right, get this down. 12 through 14. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, and comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and patient, be patient toward all men." All right, this is one passage. Then let's look at another. This is time, two others, in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." So notice those having rule over you. The word behind rule there is hegemon or hegemony, which has to do with a organization that has some sort of a leadership. So there's a term that's used there, rule. Likewise, in verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. They may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." All right, so we have several passages here. These are fairly well known. But as I have had the privilege through the years of talking with a lot of pastors, both here and internationally, so on, and train quite a few. Basically, we come to the same conclusion about pastoring a church and the way we would look at the setup of a church. And so, I want to use a little bit of my artwork here, but here we have three concentric circles here. And anyway, most pastors would look at the church body this way. And we use different colors here. All right. So first of all, almost all organizations, almost all churches have a core group. There's the core right there, right in the center, the core group. the core group that makes up any organization or business, but we're talking about a local church, the core group of the local church. As we pastors talk, we appreciate the core group. The core group are the ones that are present whenever they can be present. They're supportive. They're behind everything that's going on. They're involved. They want to help. They want to be a blessing. They're the ones that can be counted on. Now, the Lord had a core group. He had Peter, James, and John. Remember, he took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration. We have the core group here. All right. Then another group would be, I use red for the last one. Another group would be the more of the casual group, casual church members, the casual ones. They're not quite here in the core. They're involved. They show up. But their overall approach seems to be a little bit more casual because they've got other things going on and maybe the church is not their focus. So more of a casual group here. Now, then the third group would be the group that we might call the group of concern. Group of concern. Now, as I mentioned, I think most organizations have this, most businesses have this, but churches have this. And so, now these are my terms, but most pastors would say this is the way we look at the church body, all right? We got the core. The core is there. We appreciate the core. They're the backbone. They're present whenever possible. They're involved. They want to help out. They're just a tremendous blessing and very little problem, all right? The casual, that's kind of their name, casual, hit and miss. And maybe sometimes in their hit and miss, they can't help it, but they're not quite where the core is. And then there's the concern, the concerned ones. These are the ones that are out there. You don't know where they are. You don't know what's going on. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. Maybe more often they don't show up. Maybe this group not here today. the concern, the group of concern, things are going on, you know, and you don't know where they are spiritually. Sometimes you don't know where they are physically. You have a major concern about them. These are the ones where the pastor usually has to spend most of his focus. Now, this is part of pastoring a church. So, I mean, that's just the reality of it. And this is where a lot of behind-the-scenes activity goes on, counseling goes on, somewhat here as well. Now, in this, there is a matter of flux on this, and that is some of the concern can move over here into the casual, some of the casual can move into the core, or vice versa. Some of the core might move out to casual and over here. So the church members then, who make up the body, from a pastor's point of view, might be categorized this way. Now, I haven't made defining limits here, but there are some who I'd say without question are in the core, and there are some who without question are in the concern category. And much of my time is dealing with the concern over here. Much of it is, all right? So you might say, well then, how do I fit in? How do I fit in? Well, where do you want to fit in? Where do you want to fit in, all right? So passages we read here, for instance, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So I would say that the ones that are here in the concern category here are the ones that cause grief. They cause grief here. And for whatever reasons, there's instability. There's things going on, maybe sin in their life. And so the scripture gives us, I think, a foundation for this. And let's look at another passage. First Peter, I dealt with this briefly in Sunday school, but First Peter chapter 5, here the Lord speaks to Peter. And he tells Peter, and Peter then tells other elders. First Peter chapter 5, verse 1, or verse 2, let's pick it up there. Says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But here is the pastor's calling there. He is to avoid professionalism, materialism, and authoritarianism, while at the same time being over the flock and trying to help the flock. So the role then of the pastor here and your relationship to the pastor. So the question is, what is your relationship? Well, you might say, well, in 2017 I was here, but 2018, by God's grace, I want to either stay here or move into the core, where I'm behind everything and not causing issues and supportive and this and that and so on. Now, that's relationship with the pastor. Relationship with the pastor. Let's talk about relationship to others. Relationship to others. So here we are in an assembly. And I think we have 37 members right now. So 37 members on roll. And so we're in a relatively small building. And so for several hours on Sunday, we're bumping into each other physically and other ways and so on. And so this makes close fellowship. Nothing wrong with that. We like to have close fellowship. So this is not one of these churches where you can get lost in the back pew, way back there. I can hardly see you. Anybody back there? Hey, wake up back there. Okay. No, you don't get lost in the back pews there. however, we are relatively small, and nothing wrong with that. The Lord had a small congregation. He had a little flock. Nothing wrong with that. But what about a relationship with others? So I heard a traffic cop one time say, I forget the context and everything, but this is what I remember what he said. He said, I could follow the average motorist for just a couple of blocks and pull them over for some sort of infraction. I thought, really? Is he talking about me? so that may be, you know, that may be a rolling stop. It may be turning right on a no right turn. It might be going over the speed limit a little bit. I know one pastor friend who told me, you know what? I got pulled over by a cop once for going 13 miles an hour in a 10-mile zone. Really? 13 miles? Yeah, is it the children there or something? And he's going 13 miles an hour in a 10-mile zone. Okay, well. So, in other words, the police officer is saying most motorists make these little infractions that could cause them to get pulled over. All right. Well, in our local church here, probably on almost a regular basis, we can find out there are some minor offenses going on. You know, somebody sat at in my pew, or somebody sat at my table, or this or that, or bumped into me, or whatever. Some of the minor things. And so in all of this, if you look back to our passage, so here I believe is the guiding principle for any church, and certainly for our church. So the Lord says there, grieve not the Holy Spirit, or grieve not the Spirit of God. All right. And verse 32, he says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we ought to be experts in forgiveness. We ought to be experts in forgiveness. Now, in a local church, there are both minor offenses and major offenses. Minor offenses, major offenses. The Lord said, we'll look at this passage a couple times here, but the Lord said there in Matthew chapter 18, made this statement, Matthew chapter 18, and verse 7, he says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come." All right, so when you have sinners together, offenses will occur. They will occur. All right, so when offenses occur, now the late passage goes on to say, there's a way to correct this later on, verse 15 and following. Talk about that, but here let's think in terms of maybe the more of the minor offenses. For instance, a couple of verses that I've used here. One is in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And verse 11. 19:11. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and is his glory to pass over transgression." So in other words, when minor offenses occur, rather than getting upset, discretion of a man, he defers his anger. All right, somebody's offended me. All right. And I could really get upset. But with discretion here, I'm going to defer my anger. And it's a glory to pass over a transgression. All right, you've been offended. See, it's a glory here, he says. Now, now keep in mind, we're talking about minor offenses. I'm not talking about major ones. I'm talking about minor ones. And so when minor offenses come up, I think it's a glory to pass over a transgression. In other words, we're not the traffic cop. You had a rolling stop. This is Matthew 18. You're out of here. You know, okay. Right. Calm down. Back off. Right. Slow down. Right. All right. Then again, another passage here in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. I've used this and referred to it many times. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent charity, or love, among yourselves, for charity shall cover multitude of sins. This is citing Proverbs 10:12, but here, the idea of love for one another. Now, in the Old Testament, if you look back there in Genesis chapter 41, Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. This has to do with Joseph, and he's in Egypt. He marries an Egyptian woman. She gives him two sons. So in Genesis chapter 41, and the two sons that he had, he named. He named them on purpose. Joseph called the 41:51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. "For God," said he, "hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." So Manasseh means basically forgetting. In other words, all the harm his brothers did him. They wanted to kill him. They threw him in the pit. His feet were hurt when he's in stocks and in prison. And the whole life that he endured here, he's saying, you know, I could bring up every one of these things, every day of my imprisonment and all, and I could bring up every item and have a long list here. This is what you caused me, this and this and this and this, and bring them all up. No, but I'm going to forget that. I'm going to forget that. That's what he says. And so he named his first son Manasseh. And then secondly, in verse 52, "And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." So second is Ephraim. So when he forgot about all the offenses of his brothers and in his heart and so on, he names his son thusly, then he could say, the Lord has been fruitful. He's blessed me. All right. So we can toil on all the offenses of the past. There's things that, you know, have been undone. For me, being in the Lord's work, there have been men and pastors and so on who've done me harm and hurt. And I could write letters back to them and say, you know, we need to get this straightened out, or, you know, you've hurt me and so on. And that's done with. That's over. I've forgotten. All right. So this is on the basis of your the minor offenses, we might say here. Now, I think here, this would even include some major offenses. Now, let's go on to our major offenses. So this doesn't mean, on the other hand, in this assembly, we overlook sin. Somebody's involved in sin, we don't overlook it. You lied. You went out and got drunk. What? You did this. You're involved in immorality. What? You've done this. You have deceived me. Okay, we're going to deal with these things. We're going to deal with these things. Now, the way we deal with them is in Matthew, but let's look here at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and here we see in verse 19 and following. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are works of the flesh. There's all kinds of things thrown in here. Think of things like idolatry and witchcraft. And then wrath, or variance, that means being at odds. I bring this up because we've had to deal with a family here that was at odds. They brought in their variance on a regular basis. It caused contention on a regular basis. It caused contention on a regular basis. I had to deal with them on this. Variance, contention. And that's not necessary. That's a walk in the flesh. And we don't move in that direction. So if you're walking in the flesh and you come into the assembly, somebody may address that with you. And they ought to. They ought to. But walking in the flesh, you're involved in this, word gets out, you've been doing it, or it comes up, somebody needs to address you on this. You may know about it, and I don't. If I find out about it, I'll address you on it. So this is the walk in the flesh. Walk in the flesh. Now, how do we respond biblically when somebody rebukes us? Well, let's look here in Proverbs. There's numerous passages that deal with this, but we'll look at one here, chapter 9. Chapter 9. So, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." So the point here is, somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you've offended me. You've done something here. I'm privy to something. You've offended me. And this is what you've done. Or you know, you shouldn't be doing this. It's a rebuke. Rebuke. The wise man will receive that and say, you know, I need that. And I'm glad you have helped me here. The wise man, the scripture says, rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. See, but the scorner, well, no, I'm justifying myself. No, I'm justifying. I'm digging my heels in. I'm going to justify myself. You see, so we can all benefit from one another. So there's a place for this. So I'm not saying we look the other way when there's sin going on, people walking in the flesh and things are going on that shouldn't be and so on. But we need some wisdom in all of this. And when we're on the receiving end of a rebuke, we need to say, all right, you're right, I need this. Let me correct myself. Let me grow in all this. So there's a value in that. So there needs to be an attitude of love, forgiveness, concern, compassion, realizing we're all sinners. And we all sin regularly and we offend people. We all are offensive. You're all offensive. So am I. I'm part of the all. with that in mind, there's ways to deal with this. There's the minor ones, let it go. Major ones, deal with it. All right. Sometimes these major ones then move into the several categories of discipline. Now, church discipline is never easy, and it's always, this is where the devil comes in and causes confusion and hurt and criticism. All right, so Matthew chapter 18, we know the steps, so I think most Christians understand basically the steps. When there's a trespass or offense that goes on, you deal with the individual one-on-one. Don't run to me and say, so-and-so said this about to me. Don't tell me about step one. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not daddy trying to correct brother and sister's hair-pulling fight to going on. On our family, I had to do that. But I was a father there. But I don't want to hear about step one here. Step two, then this is where you bring in two or three individuals and try to deal with this. Establish it. This is where you need to establish the offense with two or three witnesses. You need to establish this. And then thirdly, you move into before the whole church. So three steps. And if the individual still won't respond to the whole assembly here, then he is disciplined out. So this is part of church discipline. Last thing anybody wants to do, last thing we're interested in. At times we have to be obedient to the Lord when it's needed. We've had to do that. We've had to do that recently. And in doing that recently, I have been criticized internally and externally on that. All right, well, leadership takes criticism. Now, leadership gets criticized. I realize that. But I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to please the Lord in these things, all right? Now, when an individual is, family or whatever, is disciplined out, their scripture's clear here. They're treated as a heathen man and a publican. Heathen man, they're placing themselves under, are taking themselves out of being under the head of Christ and now under Satan's head. And so they're in an unsaved world. And a public one here would be somebody you wouldn't want to be around. And so this is kind of the issue here. Now, when Christians are disciplined out of the church, the Lord will chasten them and give them a desire to get right with the church. If individuals disciplined out of the church don't get chastened and don't have a desire to get right, then we're left with only one conclusion. Left one conclusion here. Now, I've told an individual this. We disciplined out several years ago, and I said, the testimony is you haven't been chastened by the Lord after several years. Well, and tried to lay this out in a compassionate way and kind way, but this would indicate, and you need to be concerned if you haven't been disciplined, or if you haven't been chastened by the Lord having been disciplined out, then what status is yours before the Lord? Well, it seems like you're an unsaved person. That then validates what the church does, because the church needs to purge the unsaved from within. All right, follow that? So now that church discipline is always complicated and difficult and so on, but we try to do it a compassionate way, a caring way, a biblical way, and we don't want to do it, and we don't ever have to do it again, but if it's necessary, we will. But relationship to others. So we're not at that stage, Lord willing, but we are at a stage where We all offend one another, so here in the year 2018, let's try to use some biblical principles of minor offenses, all right. My name's Manasseh, forgetting, all right. The other major offenses, you're walking in the flesh, carnal. I find out about your carnality, walking in the flesh, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to talk to you about it. Or if you offend me, I'll come to you. And we'll deal with this. Why? Because we want to grow stronger in the Lord. Amen. And we need one another. We need the Lord. But we need one another to grow. And so some things are very, very petty. Now, some of you have been around petty people, and they just are looking for any little thing. And, you know, we don't like to be around petty people because they just nitpick about everything, all right? So we're not interested in that. So some things we just need to get over, all right? Just get over it, all right? We're grown-ups. We're going to deal with these things. And so in conclusion here, as we go to the Lord's Supper, first of all, you know, ask yourself, where am I in the concentric circles here? My core casual concern. If I'm not in the core, do I have a heart to be in the core? All right? So, secondly, your relationship with others. All right? So now we're going to come to the Lord's Supper. When we do, this is time for us to reflect upon our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord. So, in this, you need to be asking yourself, am I right with the Lord? My known sins confessed. Am I right with the Lord? And I want to participate in the Lord's Supper with knowing my heart's right with the Lord. Now, maybe there's things that need to be corrected with other brothers and sisters. Or maybe you just want to say, Manasseh, all right, past things I'm just done with. Moving forward here. The issue is not, well, I know somebody's doing something bad in this church, so since I know that, I can't participate. It's not about somebody else. It's about you. It's about you. Are you right with the Lord? That's what is matters here. And if afterwards you need to get some things corrected and take care of, so on, then do it. It's about you. Now, Lord's Supper is for the assembly members. So this is for people who are members of our assembly. And this is where we as assembly members can examine ourselves. See, I think one of the things here is that for an outsider, we don't have the opportunity for the give and take with an outsider. So an outsider as likewise doesn't know us as such. So it's for the assembly. And so we need to keep these things in mind. All right, so with that, let's turn to our Matthew 26 passage, and we're going to go forward with the Lord's Supper. And I've asked a couple men if you'd come forward at this time.